It's time for Over There with Mirella Rostorfer.
Hi, Jill. Very well, thank you. Yes, back from Milan and Florence, and ready to actually talk about a little conversation on the Vatican trial that is taking place right now in Italy, actually in the Vatican. I think it's a very important trial in the sense at different levels. First, because it's the biggest ever Vatican trial. As a matter of fact, they had because of the size of the trial, they had to use a whole of the Vatican Museum in order to hold the hearing. So it is in terms of importance, it is big in terms of amount of people that are going to be there over the next few months. This is going to be a long trial. It's also a very important trial because until now, the conversation about the Vatican was very often directed to pedophilia when certain cases and certain situations became clear in all around the world, actually, concerning children and predators. And this is another side of the Vatican, which is also quite important, and it's the financial and the economic side of the Vatican, which until today has always been kind of secret, at least not very transparent. It is about a man, a 73-year-old cardinal called Angelo Becciu, who is accused of embezzlement, money laundering, extortion, and abuse of office. As you can hear, these are not small accusations. He denies all the charges, and of course, until proven otherwise, is unguilty. But in the meantime, he has been stripped from his right to vote in papal enclaves. This is a very, very big deal, and it basically means that he is now a cardinal, but without all the special rights and privileges that usually are linked to the title. Another move from Pope Francis that literally changed everything in this case is the fact that a few months ago, he changed a major Vatican law, and that is cardinals and bishops that are based in Rome can now be prosecuted and judged by the Holy See's criminal tribunal. Previously, it was a complete different process, and they could only be judged by their own peers, and that was a court of three fellow cardinals. The problem with the previous system is that it didn't give much confidence that the trial would be fair enough to the outside world. It was more, I would say, this feeling that things were a little bit settled inside the Vatican, and a few things would eventually also not become public at all. In this case, the main issue is that a 350 euro million deal to buy a former Harrods warehouse in London in 2014 seems to have been a very crooked deal, and allegedly millions of euros were lost in this unclear deal. These are not the only accusations, but this is definitely one of the main issue. Other things that are quite important and that the cardinal is accused to is the fact that he seems also to have channeled some money, and that is million of euros, in businesses that are run in Sardinia by his brothers. So nepotism is also in the charges, and it's definitely a situation that Pope Francis wants at all costs to deal with. What is also interesting is the fact that Cardinal himself doesn't seem to feel that he has any reason to hide or to be ashamed. As a matter of fact, he's one of the only one that went to this trial, because the nine other people that are involved chose to be tried in absentia and didn't show up. As far as Cardinal Becciu is concerned, he said, "The Pope wanted me to go on trial. I am obedient. I am here." He definitely thinks that he's innocent, and he wants to clear his name. The interesting fact as well is the judge. The judge Pignatone is a former prosecutor who worked previously on financial crimes in Sicily and all sorts of related mafia issues, which shows very much that this is considered a real financial crime issue, and that there is a structure that might not be linked to the mafia. That would be very daring to say, but that at least many people were involved, and that there was a certain systematic in how to channel this very important amount of money. As I said, the other accused are the other defendants that are accused as are not showing up, which I think is also probably due to the fact that this trial is followed with a lot of interest, and that there is obviously in a time of social media also the fear of threats, and discretion seems to be for some of those people an important issue. What we can say also is that this trial is going to last many months, and because of its importance. That Pope Francis also made absolutely a point of wanting to clean up the financial and judicial system of the Vatican. There is the desire, the clear desire from the Pope to, which is not necessarily also the wish of other officials, to reach a bigger transparency in all these financials and economic matters that are related to the Vatican, and that are very often financed with all sorts of donations. And that is exactly the reason why transparency is the key word in this trial. As an example of this goodwill, for example, a few days ago, the Vatican also released a list of all its real estate properties in the world. That include 4,000 properties in Italy and about 1,000 properties abroad. It's a lot of real estate. Most probably some people are going to be busy finding out what is exactly done with those properties. Some are institutions, museums, hospitals, and others are more private than public. So altogether, from Pope Francis, the wish to become more transparent, to clean up what is considered like a very unclear situation with the Bank of the Vatican and all its financial dealings, together also with more moral and ethical issues when it comes to pedophilia inside the church around the world. So no small task, and a very big scope that is probably going to take a very long time to come into conclusion, but one has to say that this is very courageous from Pope Francis, as you can imagine that not everybody agrees with this need of transparency. Wanted to quickly also give as an update is the fact that as far as COVID-19 is concerned, Europe, like all other countries in the world, is also seeing a surge in cases, and specifically in the spread of the Delta variant, and therefore travel is becoming very complicated, considering that every country is having its own restrictions and obligations. And it was a very nice moment a few weeks ago where the feeling was there that things were going better. But I believe that at this point, Europe, like the United States as well, are facing now a new phase of the pandemic, meaning that yes, there are many people vaccinated and that it's definitely a different situation. But at the same time, I can attest by traveling to Milan and Florence a few days ago, traveling is definitely not back to normal. And even though people are definitely very keen on traveling, and as a matter of fact, Switzerland at this point is very empty, many people left for holiday, there is nevertheless this feeling that the joy and the freedom that was there before the pandemic will not be here still for this summer. And from what I heard from reactions all around me in Italy, in Switzerland, in Germany, in Austria, I can attest to the fact that the desire to normalcy is increasing, and there is unfortunately a little bit of disappointment and discouragement, I would even say, considering that very soon we are going to enter the fall 2021 with a situation that is not the one we were all hoping for.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostroffer. Over there.
My pleasure.